for God. Praise God. What a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Give God thanks for 119 baptized in the name of Jesus. Nope. Now that's 120 because Amanda went down in the water in the middle of the service on Sunday night. And 113 filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. And to add to the excitement of the season, Iran has test fired its longest long-range missile, deliverable to Israel and our troops in the Middle East, just about anywhere else they want to send it within 1,200 miles. And Israel says Iran is on the brink of an atomic bomb capability. This is all from today's headlines. And the U.S. is probing a report that Iran has developed a nuclear trigger, which is really important if you want the bomb to go off. You don't want to go to all that effort and send the bomb and it just go poof, and have a trigger. And that's a high technology piece of equipment. Isn't this exciting? Chestnuts roasting on a nuclear fire. Radiation nipping at your nose. Apocalyptic choir. Carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up in hazmat clothes. Everybody knows. Uranium and plutonium. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Serve to keep the season bright. Wild-eyed Arabs with their eyes all aglow will make it hard to sleep. Tonight, they know Osama's on his way. He's loaded Ahmadinejad up in his sleigh. And every Jewish child will have to spy to see if Iran's ballistic missiles really fly. And, well, how about a nuclear war for Christmas? Now, Brother Patrick, I know you got a brand new baby on your knee and you're not getting this. It's making you feel a little bit nervous. But we already read the back of the book and we already read where all of this is going to take place. We don't know when it's going to take place, but we're ready. We've got our name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. We know it's coming. And so with the Church of the Word of God, we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, praise God. And everybody say, praise the Lord. Oh, by the way, these are real news stories, and you can read those daily. All just the fact that Israel is in the land is a testament to the veracity of the Word of God. The fact that God has brought her back after 2,000 years is one of the greatest miracles that you've ever seen in the Word of God or in modern time. The regathering of a nation that was scattered, and it's maintained its national identity, and it is the people of God. There's nothing like that in all the world. The Quran doesn't have anything like that. The Book of Mormon doesn't have anything like that. There's nothing like that in all the world. I'm telling you, if you've been raised up around this, there's nothing like this Word of God. If you came in off the street as something else, there's nothing like this Word of God. There's nothing like this truth who tells it before it ever happens and brings it to pass against all of his adversaries. Well, praise God. And so he's done what he said, and he's going to accomplish what he's already spoken. If it's in the word of God and by prophecy, God will bring it to pass. His word always brings to pass his will and his purpose. It never falls to the ground. You can go to the bank on that. There's not much in this world you can depend on. But I'm telling you, you can depend on this word, and you can depend on the God who uttered it. Everybody say praise the Lord. Are you really excited to be alive in the kingdom tonight? Are you glad to know him in spirit and in truth? Well, by the way, that new song will be on a CD along with some of your favorites like "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Sodom." Okay, well, Houston just elected a homosexual mayor, didn't you know? Not down here in Texas. They're not homophobic. They elected one. You know, we just need a lot more God. We need a move of God. We need Holy Ghost revival. We really do. This world has lost its mind. But it's so good because the quasi-pseudo-pretend non-biblical church has gone so far to the left, and the world has lost any linkage it had to the Word of God, that you, my apostolic friend, you are the last man standing. You are going to stand out like the light of the world. You're going to stand out like the salt of the earth. God is going to use you in this last day. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Matthew chapter 9. Before we totally lose control here tonight. Beginning in verse 16. We'll continue a discussion we began on Sunday evening. Matthew 9 and 16. Everybody say, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment. But that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse." 17, "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." God bless you if you love his word. As you're seated tonight, give him praise and thanks for the word of God that is forever settled in the heavens. Ah, we give you praise, oh God. We magnify your name. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for your word. We praise you. We worship you. We lift you up. These verses are in response to the Pharisees. Jesus is calling Levi or Matthew as a disciple. And he is fellowshipping with sinners and publicans. And the Pharisees are rejecting that idea. And they resist that idea. They don't want to have anything to do with that, because it's taken them quite a while to build this caste structure in their culture and in their society, where they are more righteous and more holy than anybody else. And they don't even fellowship with the disdained sinners. And they never, ever, never would be caught talking to a Gentile. But Jesus tells them the ones that are whole don't need a physician. But he's talking a little bit ironically there, a little bit facetiously, because he's not saying that they are righteous. He's just dealing with the fact that they think they are righteous. And because of that, they're resistant to what he's bringing. He told them, "I want you to go and learn. I'd rather have mercy and not sacrifice." And then when he gets to the end of this teaching, he says, "I'm going to tell you something. You don't put new wine in old bottles, because it'll burst." He's talking about the expansive quality of the new wine in a bottle that's already been stretched by fermentation, and there's no more give, there's no more room for it, and so it can't hold anything else. And so the new wine will rupture that wineskin and pour out, and be lost. And he's talking about the new wine of the New Testament. He's talking about this Holy Ghost experience. Now, we spent a good bit of time on that Sunday night, and we can't go back to it tonight, but just simply to say that as the Holy Ghost was poured out in Acts chapter 2, there was already an ecclesiastical structure that was not prepared to embrace the truth of God and couldn't handle what God was about to do. Well, praise God. Because in Acts chapter 2, God pours out the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 8, God opens the door to half-breeds. And in Acts chapter 10, God opens the doors to Gentiles like you and like me. And in Acts chapter 19, he rebaptizes John's disciples. And the experience they have is the same all the way through the Word of God. Everybody repents. Everybody's baptized in the name of Jesus for the cleansing of sin. And everybody gets the Holy Ghost. And everybody talks in tongues. Now, when they begin to walk in that city and they begin to have miracles and signs following that gospel message, the Pharisees call them on the carpet and threaten them and jail them and beat them and persecuted them. And that's what Paul was doing before he was Paul. When he was Saul, he was persecuting and jailing and killing the church. And he was doing that from a framework that was an old bottle that didn't have room for the new wine. He couldn't see it. He couldn't embrace it. He couldn't receive it. He didn't have any capacity for what God was doing in the earth right now. And for every one of us that's come into the house of God, I want you to know, if you're brand new or you've been here 30 years, there are things about us socially, culturally, in terms of our own human capacities that would be like that old bag or like that old nature that renders us without capacity to stretch as God wants us to stretch. And that's where we're going to go tonight. That's where we're heading tonight. If you are already in a rigid, locked down religious structure, you better really look at yourself. You better survey that really carefully. Mark chapter 7, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he says, I want you to know you're worried about little things like the washing of pots and cups, but you have set aside the word of God so that you can keep your own tradition. And we find that tradition is something so powerful in an individual's life that he can push aside the word of God. And one of the scariest things in the scripture is in that passage. He says, and they do worship me in vain. They're worshiping me, but it's without strength. They're worshiping me, but it's without any efficacy because they're living in tradition and not in the word of God. It's an amazing thing. The young lady that was baptized Sunday night, she never had heard before that nobody in the Bible was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when she heard that, she looked in the Word of God and somebody was talking to her about it, and she responded and she got up and went and was baptized in the name of Jesus. You say, well, what's that about? Well, in the Bible, not in the quasi-Christian culture around you, but in the Word of God, baptism is essential. Baptism in the name of Jesus is essential. You say, well, where did you get that? Out of the book of Acts. Do you know, Brother Kedrick, nobody in the Bible was baptized in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Not one. If you can find one tonight, if I had a $100 bill, I'd give you one, but my wife won't give me any money. But I'd give you $100, I'd give you $1,000, because I know you're not going to find it. Because it's not there. Well, say, well, where did that come from, the idea of baptizing in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Came from the Roman Catholic Church 300 years after the biblical account. Well, how come it's in the world so pervasively today? Because it was perpetuated by the Protestants in 1500. Nobody checked the Word of God. And everybody just slavishly follows along today and they don't read the Bible. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, you need to look at the book of Acts and find out why everybody there was baptized in Jesus' name and you have not. You need to find out why everybody in the Bible received the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. And if you have not, you need to find out why you have not. It may be that your tradition is an old bag that won't hold the new wine, and you need to get rid of the new bag and get yourself the old bag and get yourself a new bag and get a capacity to hold what God wants to pour out in your life. Well, praise God. So that's Phariseeism colliding with the gospel. But it's still colliding today. Because all over this city, there are churches that do not teach the book of Acts. That do not teach the apostolic. The first message that Peter preached was Acts chapter 2 verse 38. And this was the gospel that he gave the street on the first day, the birthday of the church. He said, repent, which means to turn around. He said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is replicated over and over in the book of Acts. And I was raised in a huge denomination that taught all you had to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. They pull that out of Romans chapter 10. But Romans, through Jude, Romans chapter 10 was written to a church. And if you'll do a little study or if you have questions about this, you can ask and we'll be happy to show you. But the book of Romans was written to a church that had already been baptized, had already come into the covenant, had already received the Holy Ghost. And because of that, you can make generalized statements to somebody that's already in the ark. Something that's not applicable to somebody on the outside. I could read for you tonight 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, leave their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins. That's what Israel did to keep their experience up to date and to deal with sin on a day-to-day basis. That scripture's not available to a Philistine. A Philistine cannot just pray and leave his wicked ways and have God forgive his sins. A Philistine had to come and become part of Israel, had to come into the covenant or the contract. A Jebusite, a Hittite, an Amalekite, they all had to come in, come out of the ites and come into Israel. And so the contract is first, the process is first, and then the generalized maintenance statements that are made are applicable to you if you're already a part of Israel. That's the same system that works in the New Testament with the church. Everybody say praise the Lord. All right, well, I'm going to stop that for a minute. And how many of you remember when Brother Booker was here and he preached, what level do you want to play? And he's talking about these electronic games. And the voice, the mysterious voice in the game said, what level do you want to play? And he thought, my, what a great question from the Holy Ghost. How high do I want to go in this thing? How far do I want to reach in this? How much of God do I really want? And I did a little looking around. I did a little interview today. How many of you play computer games? Don't be afraid. How many of you are playing one right now on your cell phone? Mom and Dad, watch. No, how many of you play computer games? Don't be afraid. Brother Kedra, you play computer games? What do you play? Oh, you play football on there? Well, who do you play? Spiders? See, there's a lot of this I don't know. I'm a Neanderthal. Jamara, what do you play? Who? Cool Math? Games? A child is excited about arithmetic and math. Go on, keep doing that, sweetheart. Don't let anybody tell you anything otherwise. You know what I found out? And my exposure to those games is so minimal. I watch people play because it takes so much time to learn how to do those things. And I don't have that much disposable time. And so if I just sit down, I'd get killed. And so there's no need in me even trying. I hate getting killed. And I hate you killing me. So not going to even try. But I remember years and years ago, my girls were starting when Mario Brothers were first coming out. You should get royalties or something, huh? But these little guys would be running through, and they're trying to make it from one level to another level. And there's all kinds of obstacles and things, and you fall in holes. And at every stage, there's something to learn, something to gain, a piece of equipment that you need, a piece of knowledge that is necessary. And there's always a way somewhere in that place where you are. And the little guys are going, do, 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 and there's this music playing and they bounce off things and they fall in hole. But then they find the hole and they go on to the next level. And the kids go, yes. And they go on. But I don't know how many times you die before you figure out how to get to the next level. And then there's a place. There's something to learn. There's something to know, something to discover, a tool that you need, and another way on the next level. And it's like that. Some of you guys play these games where you're shooting aliens and stuff. And you walk into this room, and first time you walk in, this alien just goes, "Aah!" and just destroys you. And you don't have the slightest idea how to defend yourself or what to do or anything. But after you get killed umpteen times, you figure out, oh, there's a thing here I could hit him with. And you go get the thing. And then you, all kind of guns and armaments and specialty weapons and all kinds of things. And little by little, you learn your way through these games. There's always something to find, always something to know, always a way from one level to the next level. And I don't want to profane the kingdom of God tonight, but I am going to tell you where you are tonight. There's another level. You're not nearly done with what God wants to do with you. And everywhere you are, whatever level you are at, there's always going to be a weapon there for you. There's always going to be a way there for you. There'll always be a passage there for you. And I'll tell you, if you come to this like I've come to this, every time you get to a new level, you get knocked flat of your rear. I'm at the new level. Boom. What was that? Well, that's the devil you got to fight right here. That's the unexposed part of your humanity you've got to fight right here. That's the things that are in dominion in this level that you've got to fight right here. But I want you to know at every level in the kingdom of God, there will be an adversary that will meet you there. There will be something to be gained, something to be lost, a weapon to use with skill, and a knowledge to come by that you can rise up to the next level. Everybody say praise the Lord. Anybody ever been knocked down as you're growing in the kingdom of God? But thank God we're like Mario Brothers. We get up and we just come back again and the music plays and here we go again. But we're thinking, I'm not falling in that hole this time. Or I'm not falling in the fire over here. The crocodiles aren't getting me this time because now I know where they are. A righteous man will fall 7 times. But I'm telling you, thank God that he lets us get up. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. But you, Brother Adrian, you've got to have the capacity to want to get up and go back. You cannot just start at level one and say, this is cool, I like the music, and I'm not leaving here. I'm just going to sit here the whole game. I tell you, the good news is that the levels, the game, the adversaries, the struggles, they don't last forever. Whether you're talking about a game or whether you're talking about the kingdom of God, they don't last forever. By design, this thing was meant to get us where we're going. We're not staying here forever. There's an end to this and we're going out on the other side. Somebody say praise the Lord. And I want you to know by design, those tools were meant to be found. Those ways were meant to be found. They're hidden a little bit so lazy people can't find them. But they're there for you if you've got a hunger for the things of God. You're going to find yourself a prayer life. You're going to find yourself a handle on the Word of God. You're going to claim some promises that God has spoken specifically to you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I've got to have the nature. I've got to have an expansive capacity. Because God's calling us continually to another level. Some of you have just started living for God. Let me tell you something. There's a long way to go, and it's got joy every step of the way. There's joy there for you. There's victories to win. There's battles to fight. There's trouble ahead of you. I'll just tell you right now, there's trouble. Everything in hell is going to try to stop you from living for God. But I want you to know there's a host of people. The writer of Hebrews says we're compassed about with a great crowd of witnesses, and they're all testifying over the ramparts of heaven. Come on, honey, you can do it. Come on, sweetheart, you can make it. We're already here with God. We already made it. You can too. Touch your neighbor and say, we're going to the next level. We can handle every adversary. Come on, tell somebody, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Shake somebody and tell them, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? My God, here we are at another level. We're standing tonight at a place we've never been before. We're in a fight we've never been in before. But I'll tell you right here where we are. The tools we need are right here. The way we need is right here. The power of God is right here. I've just got to have a capacity to embrace the new and a fire in the gut for the fight. Because if you lose your capacity to expand, you're toast. And if you lose the fire in your belly, you're done. Well, praise God. So for just a moment or two tonight, anybody on the front row have your Bible? All right. Logan, read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Anybody over here have your Bible? Brother Dennis, read 2 Corinthians 3, 14 and 18. 14 through 18. Brother Dwayne, read 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If you're making quick notes of these, Justin, you can flash them all on the board while they're reading. Okay. Trying never did anything. You either do it or you don't. Trying doesn't count. I tried to live for God. I'm trying to be faithful, honey. She's not impressed. I'm trying to make a living. Oh, well. Brother George, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. En inglés, por favor. Sister, I've forgotten your name, but you're down on the front row here with your Bible ready, and I can't resist. I forgot your name. Kiana. We're glad Kiana's in the house tonight. Ephesians 4, 22 through 32. You got the longest one. So don't fail me now, Kiana. All right, let's start over here with you, Logan. Loud and clear. Stand up. Big, robust voice. No fooling around. This is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm begging you, brothers, that you present your bodies living sacrifice. It's reasonable for you to offer up your body a living sacrifice to God. Read on. And don't let this world change you. Don't be like the world around you. But be transformed. Touch the side of your head right there and say, I've got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I've got to have my mind changed, because the way that I came into this, that's an old bag. That's my old self, but I've got to have a change in my mind, in my heart, in my life. So I've got to have a renewing. It starts with a renewing of the mind so that I can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Okay, Brother Dennis, what are you reading? 2 Corinthians 3 and 14. But their minds were blinded. Everybody say their minds were blinded. This is talking about Israel and Moses. And when Moses went up in the presence of God and he was irradiated with the glory of God, he came down off the mountain, he was shining, and it freaked him out. They had to put a bag on his head. But the veil wasn't really on the head of Moses. It was really on the heart of Israel, is what they're saying there. Read on. And with the veil, we've come into Christ, and now that veil has been torn, the veil of his flesh and the veil of the temple. Yeah, they can't see. Israel's still blinded. But when they turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You might say tonight, I can't see this. Well, let me tell you something. If you'll turn to God, if you'll begin to call out to God and say, God, I really do want to know you. I want to draw close to you. The veil of what you've been, the veil of what you haven't known will be taken away. And God will give you revelatory knowledge that you've never had before. Yeah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise God. Brother Dwayne, what are you reading? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Not an old bag, but a new creature. If anybody's in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. The old creature can't handle what God wants to do. Can't go where God wants to take you. Can't know what God wants to breathe into you. But you've got to become a new creature. It begins with your knee bowed at an altar, with your heart broken and a Gethsemane of your own in your own life, where you say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I've got to have a heart and a will that says, God, I want you to take me to any level you want to take me to. I want you to use me. If you're sitting here tonight and you're sucking your thumb because God hasn't used you like you wanted to be used, what about the will of God? What about the volition of God in your life? When I shake your hand and we come into the house of God and I tell you I'm just glad they let me in. Friend of mine, I'm telling you the truth. The God's truth is I'm just glad they let me into the house. Old bags are passed away. Give your neighbor a high five and say, I got a new bag. I'm ready for the new wine. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. I'm ready. What level do you want to operate at? Where do you want to be as a family? Where do you want to be in your relationships? Where do you want to be in ministry? Where do you want to walk in prayer? Are you satisfied at the level where you've been walking? Or would you like God to pull you up to the next level? My God, it takes a new mind. It takes a new heart. You've got to be willing to turn loose of some things. And change is traumatic. Transition is difficult, and the human frame is acclimated to hold on and to try to calcify something recognizable. I've gone to the hospital with a woman that her husband beat her, slapped silly with a chair leg. She's not in the building tonight, and he's not either. But it wasn't but just a few weeks she was back in that house. Is that shocking to you? It's just like human nature on every other level. Rather go back to a bad situation that's recognizable than trust God to step out into a place that you've never been before. And the unknown is the scariest thing in all human vernacular. But I want you to know, if you're going to live for God, tomorrow you're going to like Abraham, get up and go where you do not know you're going. You're going to go to a place God's going to tell you about, but you don't know yet what it's going to be. But I'm telling you, I've learned to love the journey. I'm just glad to be traveling with him. I'm just glad to hear his voice. Well, praise God. Hermano Jorge, but I don't know. That's why I told you. I don't memorize all this. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Justin had it. Amen. We walk in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. Somewhere in the room, somewhere on that level, I've got to find that spiritual warfare. I've got to find that weaponry that's not in the flesh. Go ahead. Yeah. This warfare requires mighty weapons, mighty through God. So mighty we can pull down strongholds. Read on. Everybody say imaginations. And everyone say knowledge. And bringing. Every thought. And everyone say thoughts. So if I'm going to win in this warfare, if I'm going to be mighty in this warfare, the weapons of God are going to have to do, the place that the warfare happens is right here. In the areas, in the arenas of knowledge and thought and imagination, which is vision. And so that's where the battle is going to take place. But I've got to have an expansive nature, and I've got to be able to lay hands on what God has made available. I've got to be open to something new that God wants to whisper into my spirit in the middle of the night. Read on. Okay. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, Kiana, you ready? Big voice. Ephesians 4 and 22. Conversation. But that's King James. And conversation in the King James doesn't mean we're talking together. Conversation in the King James means my lifestyle. We're going to work it a little bit here tonight. Your Bible's fine. Okay. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, you got to put off your old man. That doesn't mean get rid of your husband. Your old man, your old nature, your old mind, your old ways. Your old man's okay. Your husband. Can't get rid of him. Hush. Can't get rid of him. Okay. But we have to put off our old man. Why? Because that's the old bag. My old way of thinking, my old way of walking, my old way of relating, my old social skills and cultural skills, and my old way of thinking, all of that's got to change. My knowledge base has to change. I'm brand new in a brand new world. I'm like the Mario Brothers, the first level. I'm stepping up and I'm about to get steamrolled by every adversary because I don't have a clue what's about to happen. But I'm going to learn because I'm going to get rid of these old things. And I'm going to learn how to walk this. And I'm going to learn how to hear. And I'm going to learn how to find the tools. And I'm going to learn how to develop the capacity to go on to the next level. Read on. Everybody say you got to have a new mind. Do you see the trend in the Word of God? You've got to have your mind changed. You can't come into the house of God with a bunch of old Egyptian ideas and just come in with the Holy Ghost and a lot of Egyptian ideas about people and about life and sit on the pew, an old crusty human just like you were on the outside, except God's been merciful and given you the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, that old bag won't hold this. That old bag will start cracking up and that Holy Ghost will run out and you might be in a church and you might even be sitting on a Pentecostal pew, but your Holy Ghost is long gone. And don't tell me that can't happen. Read the parable of the virgins. Five of them showed up at the door without any oil. All right. Read on. Going to put on the new man. Came in the house of God full of sin. But God's going to create a new man full of righteousness. And has anybody got a testimony in this house? Is there anybody here that God made another person out of you? You came in with one way of thinking and God gave you another way. You came in with one way of relating and God gave you another way. You came in with habits and dispositions and ideas, but they weren't profitable for the kingdom of God. And God has changed. Anybody here, God's changed your mind? Anybody here, God's changed your heart? Anybody here, God has transformed your house? Well, praise God. You're doing good. Read on. That's right. 25, please. Okay, when we came in the kingdom of God, some of us were liars. But you can't be a Pentecostal, not an apostolic Pentecostal, and be a liar. It's a real problem, Brother Travis, when she says, "Does this make me look fat?" Thank God for grace. Women, don't do that to your husband. But we don't lie. We used to lie, but now we put in a day's work. And I'll just tell you this. I know you love to witness on the job, but you better put in a day's work for Alabama Power. I don't want you down there witnessing and stealing the man's money. That's a lie. You said, "I've been to work." No, you hadn't. You've been down there talking about the things of God, which is wonderful. But would the boss agree with that? You understand what I'm telling you? You got to be upright. You can't be a liar anymore, which means you pay your taxes, and which means you're honest in all your ways and honest in all your reports. That old man was what you used to be. If you don't get rid of those things, you'll just get all hard and crusty, and you'll crack, and that Holy Ghost will run right out of you. You've got to be pliable and have elasticity and be ready to go with God. All right, 26. You can be angry, rather you didn't, but if you get angry, just don't sin. So God's people don't cuss. And God's people don't sit around for hours at a time and go, what they did to me on the job, what my wife told me, what my husband told me, I'm so angry. You can't do that. You have to, before the day's out, you have to turn loose of it. Well, everybody just do a breathing exercise right now. Just let it go. Just let it go. I brought a big guy to church one morning. His name was Sherrod. I found him on the street out by LSU. He's a good guy. But that church wasn't ready for him. Because about 20 minutes into the message, he was sitting like right in here. And he was a big guy. And you couldn't miss him. And he stood up. He was feeling claustrophobic because he hadn't been inside with a bunch of people in a long time. So he stood up and started going, which, you know, Pentecostals should be, they should be game for anything. As weird as you people are, for anybody to strike you as strange is beyond me. But some of those old crusty ones, they started looking at that. And the weight of the value of that soul wasn't as important to them as the weight of their tradition and how they like things to be. I just want things to go back like they were. Well, listen, in the kingdom of God, nothing's going back like it was. We're going to kick the door off this level. We're not losing the gospel. We're not losing the word of God. We're not losing the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, when we break out of this level, we won't be standing here anymore. Don't fall in love with anything that's not tethered to the word of God and call it holy. Because once we're up to the next level, praise God. Touch your neighbor and tell him, get over it. You can't be mad. Have you ever known somebody that was mad over something that happened 20 years ago? That's cancer. I even believe that'll cause cancer. That's cancer. And all you got to do, you can be hanging out with that person just la, 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 talking about this or that or the other, and you happen to touch that place. You touch that place. I could shock you tonight. I won't. It's just, I do a lot of ridiculous things, but this would just be beyond the pale. I touched a man one time. Didn't even know how I touched him. We'd been working on a relationship for years. And he came out like another creature out of that skin. And it was some old societal, cultural thing that he was so angry about and had been all his life. And he was just making nice with me. But I found out how deep the nice went. That'll eat you up. You can't stay mad. You know what forgiveness does? It doesn't release them. It releases you. You've been dragging that thing around with you. It's been eating breakfast with you every morning. You've been taking it to bed with you every night. It's been talking to you. It's been stealing your joy. Everybody say, be angry and sin not. Point at your neighbor and tell them, get over it today. Now that's a new bag. The old bag keeps it, chews on it. And it becomes bitterness in your heart and it becomes depression in your soul. You dig down deep enough in some person that says, I'm just depressed. You dig down deep enough, you'll find anger that blossomed into bitterness. And they can't get over it and they can't turn it loose. And now it's just invaded every part of their life. And the Holy Ghost long since ran out their boot. Read on. You know what? I'm making you stand the whole time. I'm so sorry. Don't give place to the devil. He's looking for a host. You know what you were designed to be? You were designed to be a vessel for the Holy Ghost. But the devil would like to come and camp out in your life. And you know what? He can't come without your permission. The devil can't come and affect your life without your saying yes. Otherwise, the apostle wouldn't say, neither give place. Don't give place to the devil. I wonder if I could find a place here tonight if I was the devil. I wonder if I could find a place. I wonder if I could find somebody that would be a host for me. Just somebody that would give me a little room, give me a little access. I just want you to say ugly things and think ugly things and be a bad person. And I just need somebody to help me out. It's a hard job being the devil. You want to be host for the devil? Don't give place to the devil. Praise God. It's a drag when the devil comes to church and can't find a place. It makes him depressed. He's trying to find a place. And this brother over here, as soon as he feels him come by, he says, whoa! And he starts worshiping and praising God. I magnify you, God. I give you praise, oh God. I lift you up, oh God. Well, praise God. Go ahead. 4:28. Take back all the hubcaps. And here's a novel idea. Get a job. Get a job. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's the mantra of the Word of God. 29. No corrupt communication. Everybody say no corrupt communication. That's right. But that is good for what? Edifying. If it doesn't build somebody up, don't say it. So I don't catch a sister in church and I don't tell somebody in church, I just can't stand to be in this church. This church is backslidden. These people are backslidden. I can't stand all this multicultural stuff. I can't stand all this loud talking, all this loud worship. I can't stand the music. I can't stand this praise group. Ah. That's not edifying. That's corrupt communication. That's your old bag, your Holy Ghost to run out. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Do you understand me? You mean I can't say anything bad? You're getting the message. I can't talk bad about anybody. I can't gossip about anybody. I can't run anybody down. I can't lodge complaints against anybody. If you have a problem, come knock on that door over there where the pastor never is, and somebody will take care of your situation. But you don't come into the body cutting and swearing and slicing. That's that old nature. And that won't support your Holy Ghost experience. So if it's not good for edifying, don't say it. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, if it's not good, don't say it. If it doesn't build anybody, don't say it. And don't come and say, now listen, I wouldn't be telling you this for any other reason. It's just I want you to help me pray about it. Yeah, I heard some things about Brother Larry that you wouldn't believe. Now, that comes under the heading of don't give place to the devil. You just I hear my mama coming, calling, or just turn your shoulder, or I hear my wife call, or something. Just vacate the premises. Don't give place to the devil. You know, if you won't gossip with people, they'll quit bringing you gossip. If you won't talk bad with people, people will quit coming to talk bad to you. If you'll just one time tell them, this is not proper, this is not good communication, this doesn't edify, they will never bring another negative report to you as long as you live. You know that's true? Well, pray. The church of God, the house of the living God, ought to be a safe place where people can come and fall down and get up and fall down and get up and do their best to live for God. No corrupt communication. We gotta quit. You're doing a great job, but we just gotta quit. Can you help? Are you clapping because we're quitting, or are you clapping because she's doing a great job? Let's stand together. Come on down around the altar tonight with your family, please. And if you don't have family, find somebody that will adopt you. And say, I need family. When you get down here, I want you to tell them, we need the kind of house, we need the kind of family, we need the kind of relationship where we can grow, where God can talk to us, where we can rise up to the next level. Praise God. Come on down. Praise God. Are you telling her all this? Praise God. I want you to huddle up there with your family, and I want you to just begin to call on God. God, we really do want to rise up, be everything you've called us to be. We really do want to rise up to the next level. We want to know you. We want to serve you. We want to please you. God, we want your name to be magnified in our home and in our family. Hallelujah. Call on him. If you got children in that group, pray for those babies. Pray for those children. Just make yourself available. Lord, whatever. God, if you need somebody to pray, call on me. You need somebody to testify, call on me, oh God. God, if you need somebody to carry the load in the house of God, you call on me. Hallelujah. I want you to press on into that. Let the Holy Ghost pray a prayer through your vessel tonight. Let that Holy Ghost pour through your vessel. Let that heavenly language pour forth. God. Well, let's give God a little praise and magnify his name. How awesome. We worship you, oh God. We lift you up. We magnify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.